It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the RHAP wrap-up discussing the Devil's Plan for episodes 10 and 11. It is our penultimate episode, about to get to the finale, finally, very excited, and luckily have, you know him, my usual co-host breaking all this down, Chappelle. Chappelle, how are we doing?
We're not good, Scally. We're not good. This is the red wedding of the Devil's Plan. Who would have thought that this is what we'd be going into? So if we were covering this podcast one episode a week and we were just doing them each in a vacuum, just like each episode in a little bottle, then I'm telling you, episode 10, we would have had to stop down. We would have really had to stop down. And then episode 11, we would have to stop down. And we really had to like really just unpack what we just saw. Because in these two episodes, we have seen, with, you know, some fan favorites, some Scally favorites, some Chappelle favorites all fall to the wayside in different various forms of dramatic, like, you know, really climactic moments for them each. Starting with the big one that I would call the big one. And then just like, boom, each of them getting picked off to where now we are finally at the final two. So while I do appreciate the we're moving through these relatively quickly, I feel like we're doing some of these losses a disservice as to like how heavy they were in the moment, because I think we have to move forward, you know, for the sake of the podcast. We're like, oh yeah, this happened, and then we move to the next episode. But if we only wanted to talk about episode 10, then yeah, I'm not doing good, because we started off with a whammy of an episode.
Yeah, this was a lot. I mean, you know, there were like its chill moments too, but in general, this was eventful, heavy, just like so much shoved into two episodes. So I have a lot of thoughts on like the pacing of the season as a whole after this. but it's tough to say because I feel like, and we can just jump into, I guess, more in like a general sense.
Yeah.
Where we end up losing so many people in this two episode stretch where we barely lost anyone as it went on through the entire season. And I feel like that was probably a big negative where I would have rather like I let these people's eliminations breathe a little bit. I felt them hard in these two episodes, but I wonder if I could have just, you know, given a little bit more time to breathe with between eliminations, if it would have been better. But at the same time, I think this game functioned a lot better for having so many people in it. So it was tough to say.
Yeah. And then we do the thing where we're like, we don't want to see anybody go. But ultimately, they're not going to have 12 winners of the show, you know. And so at some point, the people we're going to have to go is either you lose them gradually throughout the first couple episodes, you know, one, maybe one a week, and you just deal with those losses as they come, or you, you know, put off losing as many people as you can for as long as possible. And then you have, you know, the apocalypse here in the last couple episodes stretch. So now that I think about it, Scotty, this isn't our fault. This is Orbit's fault. This is all Orbit's fault. Orbit, oh, I want to save everybody. I want to keep everybody around. Blah, 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 blah. We're like, yes, King, keep our faves. But then when it gets to, oh, only three will survive this round. Scotty, this could have been worse. Had we not lost, you know, I haven't mentioned anybody's name yet, but had we not lost some of these other contestants that me and you came on here and said, no, not them. We could have seen them all going out here. And I don't know if that would have diminished it a little bit. Like, it feels like, okay, well, you know, everybody got to go in this round anyways. Like, the finale, someone's going to win. But I do feel like we did get time to kind of, you know, eulogize those people in a way that we were just not going to find time in this episode regardless, right? Because there's just so many people that had to take the L.
And yeah, maybe eulogizing like the season as a whole and some of the players, you know, we could do it as we go, but also a little look back at the finale, because I'm assuming that's just going to be a lot of like one game happens and then another game happens. We haven't seen it, obviously, but you know, it, maybe it's better to sneak that in there. But yeah, it was tough losing these like big names that we have been so invested in all season, and it's like, all right, and moving on to the game again. It's like, oh, okay,
right. But the ones that we did get to have a moment with, God, like, this was riveting television. See, I kind of watch the show kind of like casually the first time, or I'll watch it, take notes or whatever. But this time, I think we had just finished talking about it. And so I was like, okay, I'll just go watch it right now, because I'm really eager to see what happens when Siwon and Seokjin go down this tunnel. After they figure out the code, they crack the code. It's 2024, it's next year. Bet. There's a tunnel open. It's Narnia. What's going to happen down there? I was so ready. It was like Christmas morning. I was running in front of I sit down in front of my TV, crisscross applesauce, and it just pain, Scally. the suspense here was great. They really set it up to where I thought that, you know, okay, we got two or more cunning, more like tapped in players. In this situation, they've done the research. They've cracked the code. I don't trust this game in the hands of more, you know, than these two people. No one more than these two people, right? Our girl, Siwon, Scally, I had to text you. I was like, hey, are you okay? Scally, we lost Siwon. What you think, man?
No, I'm so sad. That's my girl.
That's the girl. Oh, my God. And she goes out in like a blaze of like, I won't say a blaze of glory, but she goes down swinging. But damn, girl, to what cost, man?
She even writes on the prison wall, live gloriously or die. So she made her choice. But, you know. You can accomplish both. That's the thing, is they get down to the basement. It says, if you are prepared to face death, knock on the door. And they know that there's probably some big reward behind it. They can only go in one at a time. And they go back up, discuss it a little bit. They think that they saw a game called Gamoku behind the figure that's standing there that they both have a jump scare with. But so they go up, strategize a little bit. Siwon decides that she wants to go first. And we get to watch her play. We find out it is a version of the game where they ultimately don't get to see the pieces after they place them, what color they are. They're disguised by having a bunch of series of colors rather than just like black or white as their like team pieces are, I guess. And so it's called Blind Gamoku. And Siwon ends up forgetting if a piece is hers or not, only to quickly then be eliminated by the game AI that is playing against her.
Yeah, and the way they do this is so nasty because they show us Siwon like, okay, I'm really good at this game. I don't lose at arm wrestling and I don't lose at five in a row. But I have a really bad memory. And, you know, I cannot see the pieces as I put them down. So while in a normal situation, I'm thinking, who better than Siwon in this spot? But that bad memory is not going to do her any favors because she cannot... you know, she can't figure out where she put her last pieces. And so she gets basically trapped in a double situation where there's nothing she can do to stop this win from happening. It's going to happen. But we don't know that. What we end up seeing is the view of the living area where the other players are quickly like trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here? Should we be playing, what is it, Five Men's Morris or whatever? Like, should we be practicing that? They're working that out. And then boom, the chime happens and the lights dim. You're like, oh, what's going on? And so although we were left thinking Siwon's probably got this, or maybe at least on the edge of our seats thinking, okay, this might be tough, but she's got a pretty good edit going into this going on. She's probably fine. They look up on the screen and in horror, they see her name up there just like eliminated. And they're like, what? Wait, what happened? I'm texting Scott. They're like, Scott, please don't watch it. She lost, man. I was not expecting this. Sorry, I just wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I, of course, am watching all these games. And if you will let me play along at home, even remotely, I am going to do so. So I'm trying to remember on the board. And I think they both had a good strategy of placing that first piece directly in the center of the board so that you can always keep track of where your first piece was. And so I'm watching and I'm like, okay, good, good. And when she's questioning, like, is this my piece? I'm not sure. It's like, Siwon, just like, would it have made sense for you to go there based on where you know your other pieces are? Like, no. So it was just devastating. Like, I knew it as soon as they cut away. It was like, she's gone and I'm upset to see them. Then, you know, the people at the house, they decided they're having a noodle party, and that is interrupted by the picture, like you said, of Siwon on the board and the big chime or gong announcement. And they all thought, like, how could you get eliminated in prison? There's a bunch of speculation. Did Seokjin do this to her? So Yeah, devastating.
And nobody more devastated than me and Scally, but Seokjin close third, because I don't know if they come and tell him what's going on, but it's like after she's gone for so long, he kind of like, oh, she's not coming back. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if there was any indication from something like maybe like production or something like that, that she wasn't coming back. Because we do see that, oh, they don't even let her go say goodbye or get her stuff. They pack her things for her in front of everybody. They're like, wait, how'd she go? And the lady is just like, la, 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 sorry, don't hear you. So he's in there having the same breakdown we're having. We're like, wait, so she's not coming back? So what does that mean for him? And Seokjin is in an interesting position because, yeah, he knows she's gone, but he also is not required to go in there and do this. So he's kind of sitting in a situation where he could go risk it, knowing what it is, because he was able to look in there when she was about to go in there and play, and he realized that it was the blind version of, you know, five in a row. And so he's like, I think if I practice some Gamoku, then I think I'll be okay. And he sleeps on it, and tries to sleep on it at least. But he does kind of like hype himself up to go in there. But he didn't have to do this, Gally. He could have just gone in with the pieces that he had.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was always taking the shot. I think that he even was like, I have to avenge Siwon. Like, it would be disrespectful not to also go. I think that there was just no world in which he was not going. I think he could have known, like, I am going to lose this game and, like, still is going to take the shot. Because, you know, if I don't take this shot, like, I'm basically signing my death warrant anyway in most cases. So let me go ahead and, you know, pieces are going to be very important. There's a huge reward for going in there of 10 pieces if you can win. So Seokjin, like, finally breaking down and crying where he had not done so for previous eliminations, did get to me. Him, the staying up all night, I think he slept for like 2 hours and just working on strategies the whole time. It was very compelling.
Yeah. And he goes in and he ends up winning because he realizes that the AI is using like a very elementary version of like the strategy here. And so in order to remember where his pieces are, he just starts spacing them out a lot more, you know, so they're not in the bunch so he can kind of pay attention to them. And then he realizes, oh, they're not really catching that. I'm just kind of leaving my pieces out here. I could just kind of go five in a row and like not be bothered. And so he does. It slows him down because he's thinking, this can't be this easy, can it? It is. And he figures it out. And then this is when he really breaks down. And I'm like, oh my God, he did it. He's like, oh my God. He's like, I like when he looks at the AI. I was like, you suck. I'm like, you're not even good at the game. How did you beat her? You know?
Yeah. So,
he did avenge her, but man, this was some good TV. I just really sad to see her go like this.
Yeah, I loved him screaming and dropping to the ground, just ultimately yelling, F-word a couple times. So that was very enjoyable from someone who's been so composed the whole time. It was very funny to watch. But yeah, watching Siwon go saying like this was the most intense 5 days of her life. She's upset she doesn't get to say goodbye, but like it taught her so much about like the complicated nature of human beings. A good exit. I think that losing her here, where it is like a very individual exit, she went out trying, was a more appropriate elimination for Siwon than had she got never tried, gone out at the table because she just like got in a lucky hand.
Yeah, this is a good exit for her. It was hard to watch, but it's good TV. Now, in the past, we have speculated people coming back for All Stars. At this point, just bring back the whole cast and play again. I'm sorry. We cannot every episode, every time somebody's eliminated, we're like, bring them back. Fan favorite, queen, mother. Because this will not be the last time I mention somebody coming back to play. So I'm going to just go ahead and get in front of that right now. Bring them all back. Let's shuffle the deck and let's see what happens the next time. Give them the same games. I don't care. Just let's just see if things will work out. Like, you know, like run a simulation like 100 times and see how many winners we get and how many different variations it takes to get there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, even like Sung Kwon was like, please let us say goodbye, please. We want more Siwon. He knows it. So I would have her in the top few likely to get a call back in a future All-Star season.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a few, you know, that's the thing. There's so many that I could see fighting for that spot. So bring them back. All of them. No flops, no duds.
Just to rerun this with the same cast in season two. I'm down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cause listen, this is the first of many L's we're about to take in this episode in this podcast, at least when we come talking about the eliminations. We're about to lose a slew of people. And I was sad to see each of them go. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. Now we do have to consider, do you think if Seokjin had gone first and come back, you know, discuss things with Siwon, or you know, if he had gone first, do you think that they would have both had a better chance of surviving? Like, does Seokjin stand a better chance going in there just initially and then can come back and teach Siwon, or is he probably also getting eliminated first and then they run the risk of both of them going home? What do you think?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We don't know if watching her get eliminated was what, you know, fueled him, right? Because she goes immediately into the room. Like, after they figure out what it is, she's like, oh, well, I got to go do it. Like, what's up? And so she does. But when she loses, he's at that point thinking, oh, it must be harder than it looks. Let me practice. And so he runs practice games. He tries to get a little rest, you know, kind of sleeps on it. He can't really rest that much, so he hypes himself up, does some like some little calisthenics and stuff like that. Like, he really got his head in the game, whereas I think she was like going in trying to figure it out still, whereas he had time to really mull over, you know, the different machinations of what could happen for him moving forward. So I think he was fueled probably by the will to avenge her as well. He also knew that it wouldn't be as easy as it looked, you know, so he's probably a little bit more on guard than she was. So, yeah, there are probably a lot of reasons why it worked out for him. So I can't necessarily say going first would have benefited him because maybe he wouldn't come in with all those extra added, you know, fuelings, you know, to make him do better. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm thinking. Maybe. But if he does go in and win, he can come back and tell her and then they both, you know, they both do fine. You know, I'm sure that's probably what happens if he goes in there and wins.
Yeah, I think what it is that I have more faith in Seokjin going in basically blind and no pun intended with blind Gamoku, blind and winning and then being able to come back. And so I think there's a higher chance of them both succeeding, but there's also probably a higher chance of them both failing. So it's mm-hmm. hard to say what was really the right move. I mean, for Seokjin, you know, if he is solely self-interested, obviously go second. But mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we ran a risk either way.
Does going second in a vacuum help, though? Because had he not been able, like I don't think they know that in the moment he's going to be able to peek through the door, see what game it is, and then go mentally prepare for it, right? So, let's say she had gone down there first, and immediately when she opens the door, they close the door behind her, right? And so he doesn't make out what game it is, or it's not so obvious that it's about to be five in a row, and she goes, you know, is it just like a natural, like he's more on guard when he goes into play, or maybe more cautious, or is it he was always going to do better just going second and knowing that it's a game that you're competing for your life?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if, because in my head, I think I had it that they knocked on the door, saw what it was, went up, talked, came back down, knocked on the door again. But I think that it is right that maybe they did not knock until they were ready to take it and she stepped in immediately. So I guess it depends on that sequence of events as well.
Yeah, like getting the chance to go back and kind of like figure it out in your head. But had there been like, had it not been in right in front of the door where you could see it, then I think if both of them had the same equal amount of like prep, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. like prep, then I think that you probably like the results vary a lot more. You know, like it's like, yeah, he did fine, but he also had time to think about it and to practice it. Whereas if it was just blind five in a row and you knew that and y'all both knew it, I think the optimal strategy is to go up and practice on each other, right?
Mm-hmm. You would think so. So yeah. I don't know if you could knock and then go. Like, are you ready to face death? Yes. Okay, no. We'll be back later.
Right. No, actually, I'm not ready. But we have a little bit of time, right? Like, ooh, I can go upstairs.
Yeah. Oh, I actually forgot like my phone upstairs. I'll be right back.
Did you say death? Ooh, I don't know. Death. Yeah. Yeah, maybe not death. Maybe like give me some time. So yeah, I think that does benefit them. But Scarlett, do you think this is overpowered? Because we will see that had they both won, they'd have come out of here with 10 extra pieces, essentially, a huge chip lead on everyone else, and then going into a game where the amount of chips is what will basically separate, you know, the front runners from everybody else. He's going to have a lot more, tokens or whatever, chips, I guess, mm-hmm. Than everybody else in the game. And he's going to be able to maintain that lead just by, you know, playing conservatively. You know, he doesn't have to, but he definitely gives a lot more wiggle room to be able to risk some stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of reward to it, but had both of them come out, what were the other people going to do to even stand a chance against them?
Yeah, for sure. I do think that this is also a better for TV results because you don't just have two people who are coming in overwhelming favorites to the table, where I think some people were able to capitalize on their hands more effectively, but it essentially comes down to what cards do you end up getting. So I think that, yeah, having two of those spots basically filled by people who had so many more pieces than others would have been worse television.
Oh yeah, 100%. You and I speculated on what was possibly next, right? Because I was like, I've never seen the genius, so I don't know if there's like a typical game that you would get in these moments. And you literally said, "Well, we haven't had a betting game in a while." And so when I go to watch the episode and they start doing this, I was like, "Wow, Scally's a genius, crazy. So why? How did he do it?"
I was just thinking of what we've had in the past, but yeah, I was glad to see it. I think that this was a game that was hyper individualized as well, where you couldn't just work necessarily as one big alliance. And so I was glad to see that finally come in. I do wonder if they also thought that maybe the keypad would have been unlocked earlier in the season. And so they thought that like more people would have gotten this chance in prison.
They could have even divvied them up a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, in theory, if Seokjin had not eliminated Yeonwoo, like Siwon and Yeonwoo go back. And even if they both win, they can't give Seokjin any pieces in the game arena. So he had to go there himself to compete for them to have had any benefit for figuring this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think one criticism would be that maybe we should have been a little bit looser with the pieces earlier and given out mm-hmm. a couple more because it took so long for anyone to have three to even start figuring this out. And, you know, I think that a higher piece count would have made people more likely to spend them during the games, and we could have had a little more fun with them.
Well, that is probably also, like, this is by design. Obviously, like you said, they're not as loose with the pieces, but these players were very loose with their pieces. So Kyung Rim is, you know, passing people pieces left and right, you know? And so, like, had she kept all the pieces that she got, and even Jungbin gave a couple pieces away, you know, like, had all the players essentially played selfishly, we would have lost a couple people by now, but you probably could have seen a world where someone has seven, someone has six, you know? But they were being so conservative, trying to keep people around, trying to pay people back, that, yeah, when somebody actually does make a selfish move for themselves, something like going to jail so they can eliminating somebody so they can go to jail, so they can play a game, so they can get extra pieces, they reap the benefit of that in a way that these players who weren't playing as selfishly were not able to.
Mm-hmm. I would be curious if anyone has it, if Kyungrin had not given away any of her pieces throughout the season, how many she would have ended up with. I feel like she gave away so many.
It felt like she was always giving them away. You know, we even saw the moment in this episode where she's telling Dongju, like, girl, I want you to win. Like, and she said that before, but she's like, you need to be the first female winner of this game. First winner ever, first period, you know? And so we know she's going to try to give away pieces. We see her, Jungbin, and Song Kwan are sharing pieces as well. She could have just saved the pieces for herself.
And also, if you are so convinced that you want Dongju to be the winner of this thing, why are you giving pieces to Jungbin and Song Kwan? Give all of your pieces but all one to Dongju before you go in there and stack the deck in her favor.
Right, exactly. I don't know if they knew, because they did know that tomorrow's the last day. Like, they're aware, because there's no more prison, and they know the finale is coming up. But maybe they thought, like, oh, I can still come back from this. Like, I don't think they go in knowing immediately that four of them are getting eliminated in the next challenge. But once they realize it, it's like, yeah, damn, you know, kind of got to take this L here. So, yeah, she could have given Dongju all her pieces. I would have preferred that, you know, my fallen queen, Dongju. But I think that if you go back and watch the episodes from the beginning, and you look at the people who survived because they were given pieces and had the pieces who had the people who given them pieces kept them, then yeah, you probably would have seen a lot closer of a spread when it came to the amount, like, you know, that each person has. But, you know, that 10 pieces that Seokjin gets in the prison is just, it's really a game changer as far as the next challenge goes.
Mm-hmm.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, the next challenge, the main match, is called Equation High-Low, where they're going to be dealt cards with numbers and why am I blanking on the name of the word?
Pluses, functions.
Minuses, functions. Yeah. There we go. I was like, what am I doing? Pluses, minuses, and divisions, as well as being dealt multiplication and square root. And the goal of the game is that they have to form equations using the cards they get each round to make either a number, like a result of as close to one as possible or as close to 20 as possible. And then they bet pieces based on how confident they are that their like equation results in the closest to either the high or low number, and they'll gain all the pieces of the pot, et cetera, et cetera. Chappelle, what'd you think of this main match?
So obviously you start talking about math, I'm out, right? So like, let's just go ahead and let's just start there. I heard it. I was like, oh no, this is the one, this is going to be my undoing. And I start to look at the players that I know are in danger first. Right. Cause I'm thinking this math, that square root sign is going to be the death of me every time. So I'm like, you know, as a unapologetic Sun Quan fan, I'm like, oh my God, it's doomsday. What is he going to do? You know, Kyung Rim, I'm like, girl, you in danger. And then I hear from the heavens what I think is a sign that I should just be like, okay, we still have hope. My boy Jun Bin says, oh, I'm a master at the high low game. I was like, wait, do we have something here? The man had his glasses on, Scally. I was like, he's tapped in. Look, as someone who rarely wears my glasses, when I wear my glasses, I really be concentrating, you know? And so I was like, he put his glasses on. He's like LeBron with his headband, you know, like he's about to put up some numbers. And he did great, but it just wasn't good enough, Scally. We lost all my faves. The liberal arts people are screaming. We're crying out here. All of these damn STEM majors are just running away with this one. It's not fair. It's just not fair.
See, where I've multiple times in my life been like, I think I miss math. Like, I think I miss it. Like, I don't know. But then you're like, okay, do your taxes. I'm like, ugh, no. I don't
ew, want
that. No.
What?
Ew.
Why?
Doing taxes.
Gross.
So it depends on the type of math. This math I thought was very fun. Like, math problems I think are enjoyable. So I was pausing this episode quite a bit trying to figure out if I could come up with better equations.
The way I was speeding through that gibberish nonsense decimals, ew. Like, what?
I was like, are they going to tell us every time that someone could have come up with a better equation? Because it happens once where Sung Kwan goes out and Sok Jin says to him, which I almost was like, are you rubbing salt in the wound right now? Like, he's like, yeah, you could have won if you just rearranged your numbers. Like, you could have been in here still.
Yeah, I think it was more like a matter of fact thing, because Sok Jin is very clearly in a comfortable position, but also Sung Kwan, he doesn't trust his math skills. He knows, like, this is tough for me. I see that rational thing pop up, and I'm like, whoa, hold on. And I think that like, he, the moment he sees the game, he's like, okay, how do I survive this? And so he tries to play very conservatively, but there's a moment where he's saying, I think I got it, right? There's no big square root sign, you know, nothing that I got, like, nothing too crazy here. Let me see if I can do this. And he's kind of like, okay, I think I'm in, but it's the time that's really starting to get with him, right? Like, he's playing, he's trying to do the calculation, but he's like, man, they're all waiting on me. They're, I don't know. Like, I don't want to like belabor this, but also, like, I think this is my move. And so, yeah, a couple pieces moved, cards switched around, and he would have won, but I think he had gotten his own head. He was trying to hurry up. You know, he felt rushed. And I was thinking, like, yeah, this is the way I go. You know what I'm saying? This is how I die. Because it's exactly this. It's the math problem that I should have taken 3 more seconds on, that I just was like, this is the best I'm going to give you. You know, like, this is all I got. So let me just try it. And so, yeah, I don't think he was rubbing salt. It was more like, damn. You know, had you just took like 2 more seconds, you probably would have realized what you were doing incorrectly. But there was a couple other times where they did that. I think Sok Jin is and Orbit both had caught Dong Ju maybe like once or twice being like, hey, you know, like, you had it. He's like, oh, damn. You know, and she's like, Dong Ju again is like my queen. She's like, oh, you know what? You're right. I'm tripping. You know, like, my bad. So they're like, man, I really be messing up here. So, yeah, we lose Sun Quan and devastated. I mean, I've just got into the 17 subgroups. Okay, like, I'm in the K-pop groups, showing feet now. You know, I'm in the chat rooms. I'm part of the community. Thank you. That song Monster, amazing. Get into it. But you have to say goodbye to Sung Kwan here, who I guess is celebrity casting in a way. And so I'm very happy that he went this far into the game, because, you know, typically, you know, maybe the ones who are not as tapped in, you know, socially or strategically, you probably see them go earlier. And he seems like a pretty likable guy. Just these games were over his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he did like a serviceable job in the games. Mm-hmm. I actually think his social game was really good. Almost every person like loves Sung Hwan, and I think that was evidenced by when they were being eliminated, how devastated he was.
he's like my friends.
He had gotten so close to so many people. So I thought he was a really enjoyable presence on the season. Even him like putting his cards down and knowing he got eliminated, he, like standing up, walking to the corner to cry. I was like, oh no. So hopefully one day you will stop gatekeeping 17 from me and will send me a playlist.
Still curating it. Dear God, get off my neck. Can I enjoy the vibes?
I did definitely tear up at a couple of these eliminations. Sung Hwan being one of
Gally.
Them. They're devastating. I have connected with these people now.
Oh, please, Scally, stop it. Scally hates watching people lose because he's like, and put himself in their position. He's like, I too.
Maybe. Yeah. And even before Sung Hwan goes home, in only round three, Heumin forces Kyungrim all in, ultimately being eliminated by Junbin. And Kyungrim is like, well, I knew I was going to go home, so I figured let's just get this over with.
Yeah. Yeah, I love her, but come on, man. I was sad to see her go again. And then this time, Junbin is the one crying. He's like, damn, I was really the one thinking that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the one that doesn't care who gets eliminated. He accidentally eliminated this girl, man. Kyungrim goes down. And he's like, what? No.
Oh, my God.
Not like this.
Okay. Yeah, he was hysterical at his seat. I felt really bad.
Yeah.
I think Dongju later says that like her emotion where she thought that she was not going to be emotional about people's eliminations, and then she is very emotional today about many of them, is like a sign of how much just like passion and energy they've put into these games. And I think that's what it is. I think that it's like a big release of like, Yes. I've gotten really close to these people, living with them for 5 days, and I'm not going to be waking up and seeing them every single day anymore. And that is hard, but especially just like, wow, this has been such a transformative experience. And like, it's actually ending.
Yeah. Every move they were making in this game too, you could feel the stress on each of them. You know, it's like, it's not like they weren't all going all in all the time, but you could tell like when the stakes were high for each of them, it's like, whew, I'm shaking. I'm literally shaking. It's like they had put in so much on this of this game on their backs to where that's like a hell of a weight to carry. And so, yeah, I think a lot of it is a release. Like you're concerned about the other players in the game. You also want to survive the game. You don't want to be the reason why someone else loses the game. But Scally, tomorrow's the last day. So it's like they're really like, for them to be crying like this, it's not because, oh, I'm going to miss you. It's literally because like, oh, dear God, this is taking a lot out of us. You know, that the moment where Seokjin is crying in the, you know, after winning the blind five in a row, you could just feel the triumph, but also like the weight of the world just lifts off his shoulder. Like, dear God, I made it. Like, I was in a panic this entire time. I was on edge. Siwon had just went out. Like, you know, like it was, the walls were caving in and he survived. You know, and so I think a lot of it is just that raw emotion. It's not so much sadness for each player, because I mean, only three of y'all are going to make it through. It's legit like, nah, I just needed to let that go. You know, the stress that I put on myself just playing this game.
Mm-hmm. So I would say the other player who ends up going out here, you know, in kind of a sequence of eliminations pretty quickly, is Heumin. Now, Heumin did have, again, one or two spots where I like paused and I think she could have won. But I do applaud her for playing very aggressively in this final match, which was good to see, because there were parts where she took kind of a backseat in some other main matches. But this was really like win or die. And she said, like, I am going to do one of those two things, and I'm not going to just like let this come slowly at me. And she was putting people all in, trying to eliminate like her friends and competitors with no mercy. So very much applauding Heumin for playing so hard on this last main match.
Bring her back for All Stars. You know, so it's like, you know, Heumin was great. She was great. I liked her arc here. I like that even when she gets eliminated, she's like telling Haesung, like, girl, it wasn't me. You know, I tried. I promise it wasn't, you know, like these moments where you could tell that they connected, but also like, I still need to win. And so Heumin being like, overly just like, I'm out here playing the game. Because what it's going to end up being is that if you don't play aggressively and you do whimper through this round, you're going to be up against some of the heavier hitters with the most pieces in the next round. So it doesn't really behoove you to just try to survive. Because you don't know the advantage the next person is going to have by having so many chips. So you might as well try to maneuver these pieces. He's like, I need to get those pieces out of Sock Jin's hands because there's just too many of them. Like, I don't care who gets them, but it can't be him. You know, like, he got to get rid of those pieces. And if everybody else has to lose theirs trying to get those out of his hands, then that's fine. So she doesn't mind pushing people all in. And yeah, you man had a nice little run there. I was very happy for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super respectable. I think that is also proves to be the right strategy, where if you had been like, sure, you get third place, you survive here, but you have like one piece and someone else is going into the prize match with 20, there was no making up for it. So definitely correct to be playing this very aggressively. And then we hit a point where these people are going back and forth just round after round. I had been taking like brief notes on like, okay, round 16, round 17. And then eventually it's just like, here, I was like, round question mark. I don't know how many have happened by this point. They keep going. But you can feel that Junbin is starting to lose some mental energy, as he says. Like, really, it has been too long of a day. It is like the strongest competitors left. And Junbin goes all in on a spot where he probably should not have and gets beat by Dongju.
Scally, you know this one hurt me, man. Since day one, I'm like, this is my guy. I did not know there was a Korean Chappelle. I am very happy that he played this game, but I legit am him. Like, I am him. I would have come in and I'd have been playing, and then I would have been like, and Scally, you play games with me. You know this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm done. I'm good. Like, you don't want to try to win? No, not really. I'm tired. Like, I'm tired. I see that, like, this is an uphill battle. I see I'm outmatched here. And I'm just spending so much energy trying to play this game, and I don't even like games like that. So, I'm going all in. Whatever happens, happens. I'll be sad, but I'll move on. And I won't think about this again. And, I mean, Junbin, man. Man, that's one of my favorite reality TV competitors now. Like, that made me so happy to watch him get this far in the game. He wanted to take big swings. He knew, I don't even want to go to the end with Orbit or Dongju because I can't beat him. He's like, so once he starts seeing all the people he can beat fall out, Kyungrim, Yumin maybe, you know, Sungkwan, you know, God bless him. But, you know, Junbin would have packed him up real quick. But he's sitting there looking at the juggernauts. I mean, Orbit is on a run here. Just take it. I mean, come and make a hell of a comeback here against Sock Jin. Sock Jin is sitting there with stacks and stacks of pieces. And then Dongju is just Dongju, you know, mom. You know, and so he's like looking over at everybody and thinking, yeah, what am I doing? Now, let me go ahead and try. I'll throw some at the wall. If it work out, cool. I'll play a little bit more. But if not, see ya. You know, it's been fun. And so, yeah, I had to pour one out for my boy. Man, I'm sad. I'm sorry. You can't see me, but I am emotional. No, I'm not emotional. But I definitely am very sad that we had to even talk about this. Because, listen, I was okay when Scally's faves went.
Hey.
Hey, listen. Siwon, she wanted to go out in a blaze of glory. She got what she wanted. Junbin wanted to be at the end. He wanted to win. He wanted to take this one. And I knew it. I felt that energy from him. Yeah, I might go leave a message on QuackTube, you know, a comment. Like, hey, I know you don't know me, but yeah, you the goat, man.
We're the same.
It's me, your brother. Matter of fact, go to YouTube right now.
Junbin was a super fun character. I'm really glad that he was on the season. And it comes away from it saying, like, he's really proud of fourth place. He doesn't think that he puts himself on the same level as the other competitors who are now still in the game. And I don't know if that's true. I think he had, like, a couple main matches where he was really the star of them and doing very well. But, you know, he's very content with where he ended up. And so I'm glad for that. And it does leave us with a final three of Orbit, Dongju, and Sock Jin, who I think he, you know, in Junbin's mind, like if we had played this season and not just like ganged up on certain people, like this is a very realistic final three we could have ended up with anyway. They are three people who are really strong at the games. I mean, outside of Dongju eulogizing Orbit to his face during this game, as he then proves her wrong and goes on to like build his chip count up above hers, even, I believe, at points. So it is a very strong final three. So I think nothing to be ashamed of with the fourth place exit for Junbin.
Yes, I'm in the video section right now. Like, King.
Yeah, who is this coming on every video?
Right, in English. I don't care. I don't care. I'm a fan. He was fun TV. And like I said, he probably outmatched. Like, if you had lined the people up from the beginning, these were going to be our front runners anyway, with the exception of maybe like Siwon and Dongjae, who are both fallen off prior to this. This game was made for these people. I mean, look at their pedigree. I mean, you got MIT, you got engineering, you got astrophysics or something like that. Like, bruh, that when it comes to these numbers games, these people were going to be excelling, and it was just a matter of time before, you know, it ended up the inevitable final three.
So very strong final three indeed, and they, after saying goodbye to Junbin, will be going into a prize match called four player three in a row. It was a game that they had available in the house. Some of them had played very briefly, but this is like tic-tac-toe with a 4x4 grid, multiple players. There's stacking so that if someone takes a spot, you can take the spot over by placing on top of them up to three different pieces stack. And they will be joined by a special guest who is the youngest ever Korean national chess player. They do not know that, but a very interesting game for the final prize match, I would say.
Yeah. Did they think it was going to be Yeonwoo?
Yeah, they were all like, it's definitely Yeonwoo. And I was like, why?
Why? We're the same person. Me and you are like, why? Just because she like, really likes the game?
Yeah, I get that out of the cast, she is a professional board game player. And so it would like make sense. But what if she didn't get eliminated? Or what if she was eliminated very early? Like, we still think that she was the one coming in. I guess that she was eliminated before this final round, so like, oh, they're taking the most recent player, but I still think that's a weird call. So fun to have a special guest who, it's really funny, like when you look back and they are like, all right, we all have to team up to beat this child.
Like, and then they're like, no, this is the youngest. Okay, yeah, we might need to team up to beat this child. Mm-hmm. And they lose.
Yeah. So my thing is, they come up with a really good strategy of each round, they will come up with a place where, like, if you have the red tiles, then you should put on this square. The yellow tiles go on this square. And if they don't place correctly, then they will know who the special guest is. And the only objective is to make sure that special guest loses. I think this is a great plan for Seokjin. I think it is a terrible plan. It's a great plan in theory for Orbit and Dongju, but I think especially in round four, where Dongju has not won a game and she knows pretty confidently that Orbit has won one, I think that, like, screw the money. I can't win that $100 million we're about to win if I can't win any of the money by getting eliminated. So if the last person wins, like, that is not as bad of a scenario as me just accepting defeat in round four here.
Yeah. Well, you know, Orbit is a massive flop. And he just starts dropping the ball left and right because Dongju's coming out of here like, oh God, y'all, I lost. I messed this up. And Orbit's like, no, it was me. It was me. And then we start seeing all the spots where Orbit is like, oh God, shouldn't have did that. Oops, why did we strategize? I forgot what we were doing. You know, like, Orbit, it should have been you. It should have been you. Scally, we lost Mother.
Yeah, we did. I was really upset to lose Dongju. I was hoping for the Seokjin Dongju final two.
Yes!
It was not to be, unfortunately. I was almost questioning, like, when we see Orbit place the piece incorrectly, I was like, is Orbit throwing this?
Yep.
So that Dong, like, he automatically gets to advance and Dongju does not. When we come out to the like main hall, we very much see that he is very regretful and he didn't mean to, and he's really upset that he got her eliminated and lost the money for everyone. So I don't think it was a throw, but that was definitely a thought running through my mind.
Scally, if the next episode starts and we get a flashback of Orbit being like, yeah, I had to throw that one. I'm going to scream. And mostly because that would be amazing, but also because there is a moment in this episode where Dongju is saying, I cannot decide if I need to take out Orbit now because F Orbit, I can't beat him, or if I need to sit next to Orbit at the end because I need to beat him, you know? But she's been plotting on his downfall for about a day and a half. She talked to Kyung Rim about it. She's like, you know, I'm really thinking that Orbit is not who I need to go with. I mean, like, even Jubin had been saying, you know, like, Orbit and Dongju, I kind of need to separate myself from them. So these people are self-interested. I was hoping that somehow they were able to get out Seokjin out of this one, you know, so that we could get the Dongju Orbit final two. Because I think that's what she would have wanted. And then you could really see them kind of match wits and see what's up. But yeah, I think that if Orbit comes in and says that he threw it because he was avoiding that very outcome, I might have to stand. You know, like I might be an Orbit fan. If Orbit does all of this and still wins the game, you know, I don't know. Winners at war, you know?
Yeah, I was rooting also for it to be a purposeful throw. It being an accident was a little anticlimactic, you know. Right. I want Dongju to stay, but if it is because Orbit just outplayed her and tricked her into thinking that they would all play for the final match when really he was just making sure that he got there, then yeah, that's more satisfying. But ultimately, what we see is that it seems like it was not. Dongju is very satisfied with her performance. She did her best, so she's actually not sad at all. Where she cried for almost everyone else, does not cry for herself. So very well played by Dongju. Very easily could have been the winner. And
yes, you
know, bring her back.
The real winner, Dongju. Scally, now we have this final two. I know you famously love rooting for men in these competitions. And so you are, everybody who follows you on Twitter has seen the meme. Like, you know, Seokjin is not the third person eliminated from the Devil's Blade. Like, I know that they've seen it. So now that your two faves are left, how do you feel about this final two as a whole? You know, like, I think the storyline of the season does lend us to a, these two people were on different sides of the house. And so it coming down to the final two of them kind of feels poetic. But do you think it's satisfying that it's these two?
It's tough where I think if Orbit had played more of an individual game, I would have been a little more satisfied. But I'm satisfied in that I do think that these probably are the two people who have showed their strengths the most prominently over the course of the season. You know, we've named who we think they're probably some of the other stronger players who could have done well had they made it this far, or did make it just almost this far. But I'm happy in that I think that we are getting a real showdown for the final two. I know which way I'm rooting, but I think it is going to be an exciting final episode between the two of them.
See, I think Orbit is the one who knocks. I think that at first glance, Seokjin has been playing an aggressive game. It's been roughly, you know, self-interested for the most part. Aside from like the obviously Siwon part, you know, that elimination. Like, I think he was for a while, he's kind of been out for himself. And so rightfully so, he's earned this spot. I think Orbit has been playing with one hand tied behind his back. Because his strategy wasn't to go in and win for himself. His strategy was to win it for everybody, right? To make sure everybody had pieces, to try to get as many people in at a time as possible. But I think if Orbit came in and said, no, I want to win for me all the time, I think you're looking at both of them sitting with a large, you know, chip count at that last game, you know? I just think it never occurred to him. That just wasn't his motivation in the game. But I think if you unleash Orbit from beginning, like fully formed Orbit, based off what I saw in the high low game, Orbit's a beast, you know, and so I really think they're like, yeah, let him do his thing, and he could have run away with this thing almost. And so now that it's coming down to him and Seokjin, I do think that although the story of Orbit making it this far wasn't as compelling, I think that Orbit the player might be about to surprise us.
Yeah, it's tough to know because I would agree that Orbit played almost with one hand tied behind his back, but also kind of tied both of Seokjin's arms behind his back as well.
He did it with one arm tied behind his back, Scally.
By building this big alliance and just completely ostracizing Seokjin throughout the entire game. There were multiple main matches where it was just like, all right, well, I'm going to, you know, sit here and hope I survive. So,
right.
And I think that a testament to his game is that he did survive and wasn't really at risk for so long, despite not having this large alliance. I don't feel like there was really many points that you can point to where Seokjin was close to being eliminated, despite being completely on the outside. Even manages to win the board game main match when he is in the minority. So I think that they're both really strong players. I do agree that less of Orbit's potential has probably been shown, though.
Right. He's been holding back, or maybe he just threw all of his potential into that idea that I'm going to make that alliance that will handcuff someone like Seokjin. I mean, I don't think that was his goal initially, but he does realize it after a couple episodes. He said, yeah, was this completely selfish of me to do this? Because, yeah, it's making life difficult for me, but it's making life almost impossible for them. And so, yeah, had Seokjin not gone and did the jailbreak in the prison and did the 5 in a row, I don't think we see Seokjin in this challenge, you know? And so that was a very good move for them. But, you know, had things went differently in that prison, had he not been able to figure it out, had he not found the code, you know, I don't think he stands a chance once they go into that round, because he just doesn't have as many pieces. So, yeah, I mean, and that's to say, if a lot of things were different, then the outcome would be different. Right. But the things happened because it was Seokjin, you know, because he was into finding the pieces, because he wanted to work with people who are also self-interested, like Siwon, because he was willing to throw Yeonwoo under the bus in a spot where a lot of people were not. You know, he was able to put himself in jail with his number one ally. And then even he let her go first, you know, so there were a lot of reasons why things worked out the way they did. And it wasn't just happenstance. Seokjin played a really good game and got himself to the end, just like Orbit did. So I think that for a final two, we might have a showdown on our hands.
Now, I will question, who are you rooting for going into the final two? And who do you think is going to ultimately be our winner here?
It's so hard for me to root for Orbit because he did eliminate my queen. It is. It really is. And I think it's because, like you said, he hasn't played very self-interested. So we didn't get a lot of like, Orbit wants to win and why, you know, like we don't like with Junbin, we knew at every turn. He's like, I want to get rid of all these people. I mean, when Siwon is going down into the prison, she says, maybe there's a lot of pieces down here, or maybe they'll just give me the right to eliminate whoever I want. You know, like these people who have actively said, nah, I'm here to beat other people. Orbit has not really claimed, you know, staked his claim on, you know, why he's doing this, you know, to win. So I'm thinking, well, if you're not really that invested in it on a television standpoint, am I going to be invested in it? But I don't know. I think that my natural instinct is to root for an underdog. And with Seokjin having so many pieces on Orbit going into that one round and watching Orbit try to battle back in the little poker style challenge, seeing him now in the final two, I'm like, I'm rooting for Orbit over him. Ooh. I think that either way, it's going to be like, I'm satisfied with the winner either way. But I do think that I'm more interested in like the person who I think has the harder battle at this point winning. Not that Seokjin didn't have a hard battle moving forward, you know, up to this point. I just think that Seokjin just ran away with the last episode. And so I'm so inclined to go in the opposite direction.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still rooting for my boy. I've been my fave for quite some time. Yeah, you know, I'm rooting for Seokjin, and I'm gonna go ahead and have faith that he's gonna pull it out. He does end up with a piece lead of 22 to Orbit's 14. I'm curious if the eliminated players will be coming back in any manner. Will they play any role? Are you gonna have someone playing on your team in any of these games, or can you support, like, you know, not necessarily like a jury vote by any means, but can you support the player that you want to back for the win? Maybe. I don't know. So I am very excited to watch this finale play.
Ooh, bring back one player. Ooh. Each of them, right? Because then you get the Siwon and Seokjin versus Dongju in Orbit. Yes! Give me that. That's the kind of mess God. I like. I need that.
Don't Give tease me.
look, Battle of the Titans. I'm just saying, bring that in and let these four duke it out. But then again, at the same point, if you did that and, you know, Seokjin and Siwon run away with it, I'm like, well, obviously they had like a piece lead or whatever. Kind of like, I wish it was more level. I really wish that if they're going to do something like that, then we get to see what it looks like if you just match wits with these people, right? And it's not so much that, I mean, Seokjin gets the advantage. He earned it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you that. But I think it's way better television if it's, you know, these two people that, you know, are these four that people looked at largely as the front runners going head to head in a battle for, you know, winner takes all, you know, so maybe that would be like what an ideal scenario. I'd be okay with them bringing back, you know, like one person each and kind of like, you know, duking it out.
Well, I'm hoping for it. I'm excited to see how this all ends. Going to try to get that out to you all as soon as possible. But if people end up having a moment of free time to come up for air between this episode and the next, Chappelle, where can people find you otherwise?
People can find me on Twitter. Follow me at Chappelle's underscore show. You can catch me on post-show recaps talking about rap shit very soon with Mari. You can catch me talking about The Walking Dead, and you can catch me talking about Suits at suitpodcast.com, all for post-show recaps. Then, of course, on Rob Has a Podcast, talking about House of Villains. I'm doing Netflix shows with Rob, and I'm talking about Below Deck with Sasha. And I also joined Puya on the 90 Day Fiancé coverage this week. So that and more over on Rob Has a Podcast. What about you, Scally?
I am on Twitter at Brian underscore Scally and on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. Also launched our brand new challenge feed with Matt LaCorey talking about season 39 of The Challenge, the premiere, as well as unlocked our first bonus episode over on the feed. It's the Free Agents podcast, so people should check that out, as well as the Twitter at Pod Free Agents. I'm also talking about this season of The Traitors Canada and doing exit interviews over there live right after the episode for the recap, so people should definitely jump on board. And then I also had the pleasure of jumping on the 90 Day Fiancé coverage with Puya this week. So all of those things should keep you guys well fed, but we are going to be back very soon covering the finale, seeing if our predictions come true, seeing if we get to see any of our faves come back. But until then, bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.